let us begin our service by singing 108. We start with the fifth stanza. Oh, truly blessed is the man that on the Lord relies, respecting not the proud, nor such as stern as say to lies. Number 108, and we start with the fifth stanza. First, we will read to you the 12 articles of faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Further, we will read to you from God's holy word out of the book Judges, the 13th chapter, the first part. Judges 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Sora, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now Thou art burdened and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, and as he sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man has appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that speakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Not now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of heaven and of earth, long-suffering, almighty, and unchangeable, that we admire thee in the greatness of thy essence and of thy majesty, and that we bow before thee in true humiliation at thy feet, as worthy to acknowledge, to be praised, and to be glorified in thyself, but also in all the works of thy hands. Fill our heart with awe, with reverence, approaching thy throne in this evening, that it may be in thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, in whom thou art well pleased, and that forever. That it may please thee to come from heaven in our heart and in our midst with that ever-blessed Spirit to open in this evening the Scriptures, but also to apply it to the hearts of young and old, great and small, and that thy word bears fruit amongst us to the honor of thy name and to the salvation of our heart and soul. Break off the power of the devil and the stronghold of the same, and that thy kingdom may come in our heart and in our midst, and the wonders of that free and sovereign grace, as we hope to hear again in this evening, that it find an entrance into our soul, that it be sweet to our heart, and that it gives us hope for ourselves, for our dear ones, for the congregation, for the country, for each and every one. We are all travelers to the great and ever-ending eternity. And it is only for thy great name's sake, it is for Christ's sake only, that thou visit thy people, that thou come in their heart and in their home to abide with them forever and forever. Lord, remember us after the multitude of thy mercies in Christ Jesus, thy beloved Son, and that our gathering in this evening in thy divine favor, and that thy people receive an undeserved blessing for their heart. Oh, let them not go away empty in this evening, but that they receive something to encourage them and to comfort their heart in the midst of all the strife and all the tribulations and so many things that bother them, what they can even not explain under words. But thou knowest all things as the all-knowing God. Remember our young, our coming and rising generation in all the temptations and in all the troubles and under all the darkness. Lord, that thy word may find an entrance into their heart, and that they were privileged in the days of the youth with all the problems of their life to come unto thee to receive solution for heart and soul, for time and for eternity, where thy word shall be preached or read in this evening, that thy blessing may rest upon it also amongst the heathens, and that Jewish nation, we commend those people that is laboring amongst them at the throne of grace, and that it may please thee to anoint all thy servants, also him who hope to preach thy word in this evening again, strengthen him bodily, and give him for his soul also an undeserved blessing, that also his heart may fill with thy grace and with thy love the sick and afflicted in the different hospitals. Remember them in all their needs and in all their wants, and also in their homes. Visit them in thy love and favor. So many who are cut off from thy house and cannot come under thy word, And those that have no desire, O Lord, grant it unto them before that it shall be late and then forever too late. Pour out thy spirit in the hearts of widows, orphans and widows, and our boys in the service, our government, and all those that rule over us, bring us all back to thy word in true humility before thy face. Forgive our sins and transgressions, and supply our needs and wants to the honor of thy name and to our soul's salvation with the pardoning and remission of all our sins for thy great name's sake. Amen. Number 414. Your offering will now be taken. 414. O Lord, how swiftly grows the number of my faults. And what follows? Number 414. Beloved congregation, time and again in our confession, but also in our prayers, then we use the words many times for thy great name's sake, for Christ's sake only. I would say most of the time that is a custom, especially when we are brought up in the true doctrine. Then we know that there is no merit in us. And of course, that can even go far, convinced in our conscience by the right truth and doctrine. It can even happen in our life that we confess this even with some feeling in us. That there, let I say it in this manner, that there is something moving in us. But what a blessing it is when we realize the things with our own heart and with our own soul. In other words, that it goes not outside of us, but that it inside made deep impressions in our heart and in our soul. I have in my mind this last week to say something out of the last part of that chapter that I have read to you this evening. But I changed that. When I was looking to the first part of that chapter and the contents of that first part, therefore my text this evening is in Judges 13, 1, 2 and 3. The first three verses of Judges 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Sorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was Barnabas. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Thus far. may be, I will tell you first of all this evening why that my heart was inclined to speak about these words in this evening to you. It is what we have in our text this evening, a clear revelation of the sovereignty of the Lord. Where I start with this evening, for thy great name's sake, for Christ's sake only. And I hope that by the explanation of the text this evening, that you will realize what a rich contents that there is in those texts. I will talk to you about, first of all, about a sad condition. That sad condition that was the sin of Israel and the conquest of the Philistines. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Again, by renewal. The Lord had delivered that people out of Egypt. He led that people through the Red Sea. He protected that people. He also provided that people for 40 years in the wilderness. And under the ruling of Joshua, he brought that people in the promised land. You know that. And that took place in a wonderful way, that everyone and the nations round about, that they could realize that it was only the Lord who gave him that land, Canaan, in possession. And then you know, when Joshua bid farewell to the people, and he declared for the ears of that people that he and his house, that they will serve the Lord and obey the Lord, then their people that say the same thing under the impression what Joshua told them when the time was there that they have to go. But Joshua, he warned that people, and he said, no, you shall not continually serve the Lord. You shall not walk in his ways. And as soon as that man died and go away, then it was a disappointment. Time and again, they were sinning against the Lord. And then every time the Lord, he brought enemies in their country, they came under an awful burden for many years, many times. And then finally, then they cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed them that with the Lord there are issues of death, that the Lord only delivered his people for his great name's sake and for Christ's sake. You would say that people learn something out of all those ways? No. Because time and again they were fallen in the same pit. And now here in Judges 13, there it said, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. A sad condition that we not learn out of all the ways that the Lord held with us, and out of all the judgments that the Lord brings upon us, that we still go on in our sin and go on in our wicked ways and not returning to the Lord God. And the children of Israel, that means those children who were so blessed by the Lord in their life, because the Lord had not only delivered their people, but the Lord, he entered with that people in a covenant on the Mount of Sinai. The Lord had given them so many blessings and so many benefits. What ungrateful that they were against the God of Israel, against the God. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And then you read in that other part of the text, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. For 40 years. That was the same length of time that that people was in the desert. And you know, when they were for 40 years in the desert, they murmured, they became so discouraged, they thought that there was not coming an end to it. 40 years. And now again, 40 years, they came into the hand of the Philistines. And it means something that a country is ruled by another country. That means that we come under the jurisdiction, under the dominion of a strange nation. That we lose our rights, that we lose our freedom, that we have to say nothing, than only to do and to obey what they required from us. 40 years into the end of the Philistines, it is, I would say to you, it is a lifetime, 40 years. What a thought. And that started already, that they came into the end of the Philistines in the last time that Eli was a judge. And that his sons were killed in the war. That ark of the covenant was taken away out of their midst by the hand of the Philistines. They brought that ark back later on because it troubled them. They became afraid of it. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines, especially as long as the ark, and it was for the people of Israel that clear sign of the presence of the Lord amongst them. That ark that belongs to that people in the Old Testament, to the people of the covenant. The Lord, he delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. It was an awful experience. It was a sad condition, people. But that is the first thing what I would explain to you in this evening. But I have something else in my mind. And that is in verse 2, you read there was, and there was a certain man of Sora of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. Now, that sad condition that their people had sinned continually, that they were under the jurisdiction of the Philistines, that was sad. But there was one thing that was worse than that. One thing. And what was that one thing? That there was no humbleness before the Lord. That there was no confession of sin. That there was even no prayer to the Lord. You read nothing about it in the Bible. In this chapter. In the 12th chapter, then you read so clear that the people that came in a condition that they cried to the Lord. The burdens became so heavy upon their shoulders and their conditions so awful that they did realize that only the Lord could deliver them. And therefore they came to the Lord asking him to remember them, But then first of all, in chapter 10, first of all, then the Lord, he refused the request. You know that. And you know also what the Lord said to the people. He refers them to their own idols, whom they have served. It seems that it was very hard that the Lord was speaking to that people in such a way. Because the people that asked the Lord to help them, to deliver them, and then the Lord, he refused them. He sent them back to their idols, knowing that there is no idol in the world that can ever help us. An idol that is a piece of wood or a piece of stone. And that thing, Paul, he said, we know that an idol is nothing. And still the Lord, he said, go to that idol and go to those idols. But here, there is no thought amongst the children of Israel to come back to the Lord. You would say outwardly, it could be not worse, really, that under such circumstances that they have lost all their freedom, that they have lost all their rights, all their pleasures, all their possessions, because if we come under the power of another nation, then we have even no more iets to say over our houses. And what we have, we are no longer the boss over it. And then you must say, such a nation and such a people, they must well cry day and night that the Lord would have mercy, that the Lord would deliver them. And another thing, they know very well that it were their own sins and their own iniquities that their life was so bitter. They know it. But herein writ in Judges 13, there is not one word of true confession about their guilt and their sin. Nothing. They also not asking the Lord that he will come back to them and that he would show his mercy towards them as that he had done in former days. It is a strange condition here in that text. Because if you read, for instance, by the prophet Jeremiah, and then the Lord, he stirs the people up time and again to repent, to confess their sins and their iniquities. The Lord, he said in Jeremiah 3 verse 14, only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast sinned against me. In Proverbs 28, I shall look it up. In Proverbs 28, there the Lord, he said, he that covers his sins, shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes, them shall have mercy. And that is not in two places of the Bible that you find that, but you find it time and again in Old and New Testament. We are always referring to that one thing, that we confess our guilt and sin, and that we shall receive mercy from the Lord. In Judges 13, nothing. But there it said there was a certain man of Sora, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And now in that text, that the Lord, in his sovereign love and grace, he comes to the people of Israel. There is also added in that text, and his wife was barren and bare not. Whether that people was old, as Zacharias and Elizabeth, we don't know. We know nothing about it. But well, that woman could not bring a child in the world. And now the Lord, he visited that woman, not that man, but he visited that woman. There are several explainers of the Bible in our days. They say in their commentators that they don't know whether that he was converted or that she was converted. They place a question mark behind that. But of course, I believe that they both have grace, that man as well as that woman. In the later part of that chapter, you find that very clear explained, even that woman was an assured woman. She was farther in the way of grace than that man was. We can prove that. But now let us stay with the text this evening. There was a certain man of Sora, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. Thus he was one that belongs to the tribe of Dan. And the tribe of Dan that had also a portion in the country of Canaan to live. But he was not living in that place that the Lord had given that tribe. He was living west from Judah. And even that congregation, even that is revealed in the Word of God, that is also very remarkable. Because in the time that the Philistines were in the country, and 40 years there were ruling, also in the tribe of Judah, and the tribe of Judah, that was of course the royal tribe. But at that time, you could see nothing of the glory of that Judah. It was all gone away. And that now the Lord, in his sovereignty, that he had chosen Manoah with his wife out of the tribe of Dan, and that out of them that there would be born a boy that would start to deliver Israel out of the hands of their enemies. Oh, the sovereignty of the Lord, people. How is it possible that there is people in the world and people that confessed that the Bible is the truth, that they can deny the sovereignty of the Lord? And that the Lord used whom he want, that he excluded so many people, and that he called a man with his wife, and then a wife who could not bring a child in the world, but that she would be privileged to bring some son in the world. The sovereignty of the Lord. I will say something about that in comparison with those other judges that we have in Israel. You read about the first judge, and that was Othniel. And he came driven by the Holy Spirit to deliver Israel. Ehud, that man that was full of enthusiasm for his people, for the God of Israel, and for the religion that the Lord had given to that people. Then you read in the Bible about Barak. But he was there because a woman had called him. Then you read in the Bible about a Gideon, and that Gideon, he was called by the Lord himself, by an angel of the Lord. And then you have later on another one with the name of Jephthah. And Jephthah was one that came to deliver, but called by the elders people of Israel. But now, when we have to talk about Samson, he came without any corporate cooperation of men. There was not one man amongst Israel
that had asked for a deliverer. Not the one. And still, the Lord had chosen that man, that Samson. And then the Lord, he revealed himself to a mother who had never a child. You read that in the Word of God here in Judges 13. You read that also in the Bible about Elizabeth. You read it about the Lord Jesus, that the Lord gave a special message, as well as that it happens with Sarai, because she was also barren. Also, you read that already in Genesis 11. In other words, that there was never any hope that she could bring a child in the world. And now, congregation, and now. I will say more about it, but let us not sing before. His name shall evermore abide. In him shall all the world be blessed. By all the nations far and wide, his praise shall ever be confessed. 199, 3, 4, and 5. And now, congregation, that people of Israel that sinned against the Lord came under the jurisdiction of the Philistines, show never any sorrow, any remorse. They were not calling to heaven that the Lord would deliver them Nothing. But then the Lord, he visited that woman. And he said to that woman, behold, now thou art barren, barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. The sovereignty of the Lord. I told you this morning that many people, also amongst us, they say the Lord have to start. There is also people in our days enough that say we have to start, but they both are wrong. Both. It is the Lord who had thoughts of peace and had thoughts of evil from all eternity. Mark well that we are not saying that to drive you in a corner to live a wicked and ungodly life. No, that is not my purpose this evening. If you would take such a conclusion out of what I preach to you, then you are entirely wrong. Entirely wrong. But what I have in my mind this evening, that is to glorify the sovereignty of the Lord. If the Lord give us grace in our heart, is it the result of my confession? The result of my prayers? No. But we find in our text this evening that is also explained very clear by the prophet Isaiah, where he said, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. And I call this evening all those in my midst, and first of all, that had awareness of some grace in their heart. And second, those that lay to a certain extent under the authority of the Word of God with their conscience. And how far that it goes, the Lord is free with everybody. But that we will find out in our life that it is not men, but that it is the Lord who appeared in the life of a sinner. I shall go further. I believe there are people sitting under me every Sunday. They are many times leave the church discouraged. Discouraged. Can we blame the truth for it? No, never. Because the Lord comes with the gospel to everybody, to reach the gospel to all the nations. That is our calling. But there is people that would say, I am realizing that I am a stubborn man, stubborn. That life condemned them. And that they say, Lord, that goes on and on. Maybe this coming night I die in my sleep, and then, under so many warnings and under so many admonitions, there is here not one amongst me who can say that the Lord is not free from the blood. To a certain extent, I think you all are convinced about it. So many labors that the Lord has bestowed upon us. From our infancy, from our early days, that we have heard it. What is necessary for our salvation. But what have we done with it? What have we done with all the warnings and with all the admonitions? There is people that by the grace of God knows himself a little. There are degrees in that, you know that. But I start this evening to say, to know a little. To know a little. And that people that will confess that the blame is not upon the Lord, but upon himself. And people that is deeper uncovered by the Spirit, that will confess with all that is in them, that if the Lord never had started in their life, they never had bowed before him. I was reading this week in the life of John Edwards. And there were several things that made impression what I have read about that man. He died when he was 54 years old. And in the first time standing on the pulpit where Whitefield was preaching, in Marion Land, there in the East, you read about us so many times now, of course, alas. And then in other states in the East, with what a fire, what a zeal that man was filled to preach there the word of God. He came in one church, where in a very short time about 300 men was converted. 300 people. And when he was preaching to the people, he could almost not stop on account of the opening that the Lord gives to him, and that there was such a desire to extol the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was reading, little time that I had, and then finally He start to write about his own life. And then he said that he, in his last years of his life, that he received so much light insight that he thought there was not one person so vile and so wicked in sight as he was. And he said, my place is in the lowest hell. In the lowest hell. I thought, yeah, but such a light in the church. A second Elijah here in this country that had preached the doctrine of free and sovereign grace. Oh, I want that all the young people that had took that book and that had searched that book, that they could read it. What a wonderful testimonies that that man gave about the grace of God and the discovery of his heart and soul. And then more and more by reading that, then that man, he extolled the sovereignty of the Lord, that it was the Lord who has started, and that it was the Lord who would perform his work till the day of Jesus Christ. And now you have to think, congregation, that Samson, his life, maybe in next week that I hope to talk more about it, if the Lord spared us. But if you look to that life, then you would say, what a disappointment. What a disappointment. That married life of that man, with a woman outside of the church, of the Philistines, of the enemies, and then later on, laying on the lap of that Eliab. Coming even in jail. Who could that now be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, people? He wasn't type. He wasn't type of Jesus Christ. Christ never had done any sin, original and actual sin. He was holy and he was righteous, but he came to deliver people that is under the power and dominion of sin. And in his last day and hour, then especially he was a type of Christ, because he killed when he died more enemies than that he'd done in his whole life. The sovereignty of the Lord, people. Not to follow that man in his evil ways, no. Far from that. Far from that. But the Lord had fulfilled his counsel. And as I start this evening in my sermon, for thy great name's sake, for Christ's sake only. And now without humiliation, and without prayer, the Lord go to that man, to that man who in the western part of Judah, and that wife that bare a child, consecrated, dedicated to the Lord. Shall we not bow this evening under the sovereignty of the Lord? And shall our heart be filled with his praise and with his honor. Oh, sinners. Sinners. Old sinners. Sinners. Harder than a millstone. There is hope for salvation. There is hope for deliverance. There is hope for the greatest of sinners to receive grace in that way that the Lord has opened in his sovereign love, in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. I have to close for this evening, but I hope, congregation, that a few words be sanctified to our hearts, that it never shall testify against us. The Lord comes so low to a sinner to seek him and to cry to him that it may please him to reveal himself in our heart in the greatness of his love and of his favor in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And that the Lord shall receive all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Shall there be anything too hard before the Lord? No. Young and old, seek the Lord while he is to be found and ask him, leaving this church in this evening, Lord, please, apply it to my heart. Sanctify it to my soul. Is there still hope for me too? Still hope for me too? For a sinner who can never come on his knees in his own strength, but out of sovereign love and grace, that the Lord reveal himself to a sinner. Children of God, that we know more and more ourselves, to deny ourselves, to abhor ourselves, to come in the dust before him, to admire him, Because who was the first that looked upon you? Who was the first that had drawn you? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Lord sanctify the words to our heart and confirm it to our soul, and I hope that many in this evening leaving the church, that they receive comfort out of this sermon to the soul's gladness and above all to the honor of the Most High God. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Apply it to our hearts, sanctify it to our soul. Remember the congregation with offers bearers. Remember the school and teachers and children. Remember the parents with all the needs and with all the troubles in the families. We command them at the throne of grace, give the children grace to walk in thy ways, to break with the world and with sin, and to walk in thy ways. Strengthen us in this week that lay before us, each and every one. Give us light and wisdom and understanding. O Lord, have mercy with us, that we never do anything that is against thy holy will. Make us submissive under thy will, and look upon us together, forgiving all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 210. To God will I direct my prayer, and what follows, 210.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.